and he's a time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, I've often felt forsaken, and certainly miss you. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, I'm just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home. So far. I don't know a soul who's not been battered. I don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't have a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. For we live so well, so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly, and looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly. And I dreamed I was flying, and high up above,
my eyes can clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed I was flying. In the ages most uncertain hour, and sing an American tune. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right. You can't be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day. I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying, to get some rest.
Same name. Sometimes the road was rocky along the way. Sometimes the road was rocky along the way. Sometimes the road was rocky along the way. But I was never traveling alone. We'll meet again on some bright highway. Songs to sing and tales to tell. But I'm just a pilgrim on this road until I see you fare thee well.
Put a word in for you if I can.
We'll meet again on some bright highway. Songs to sing and tales to tell. But I'm just a pilgrim on this road until I see you fare thee well. We'll meet again on some bright highway. Songs to sing and tales to tell. But I'm just a pilgrim on this road until I see you fare thee well.
Hi. Thank you all for having us here today. To open your minds and your hearts to the people who are coming here. Since 1980, Vermont has been receiving refugees, offering them safety, offering them the chance to build a new life. This year, in Vermont, we'll be receiving 350 individuals. And we hope to receive an additional, that's 350 in the Burlington area. We hope to start receiving an additional 100 individuals in Rutland. This is an opportunity for all of us across the state to show Rutland respect and support. To show Rutland respect and support for the work that they're looking to begin. Yesterday I spent about 6.5 hours in the sun at the farmers market. And if you haven't been to the Rutland farmers market, I highly recommend it. Incredible produce and, interestingly, a lot of ethnic food. The work that we do, I don't have the time today to explain to you the how, why, what of what we do, but essentially know that people are coming here with the hope to take care of their families and have a future for their families. We provide wraparound services that enable people to build a strong life here. There are grants that refugees are eligible for. The United States Refugee Resettlement Program is a work program. The expectation is that people are going to be self-sufficient in 3 to 6 months. That's the work we do. So imagine, you know, when you've had your own beginnings in your life, changes in your life, when any of your family members have had changes, what happens in 3 to 6 months? What can you accomplish? So we work together as a team. The community in Vermont is essential for all of this to happen. I can tell you that Vermont is considered to be one of the most wonderful places in the United States to come and be resettled. We get questioned all the time about the weather. But frankly, that's not the highest priority that people have. So this year we're going to be receiving people from Bhutan, Burma, Iraq, Somalia, Burundi, and Democratic Republic of Congo. It's last summer that we started building a community from the Democratic Republic of Congo. This current year and coming year, we're going to be receiving Syrians. So that'll be a new community for us. So there's information in your brochure, and I would like to welcome anyone to be in touch with us and to come to our orientations or events to learn more. I know that there are people in this audience here, or not audience, but congregation, who are involved. So I thank you all who have been offering support to people coming here. We receive some federal grants. We're a nonprofit organization. We receive some federal grants in order to do the work we do. They fall short of what we would want to do as Vermonters. What we're looking at is a program that's based on the concept of neighbor helping neighbor. And that's really important to be thinking about. Each one of these people coming, they're a full person, you know, with values and a life, respectfully to welcome them into our community. Some of the ways that you could get involved, one is to be a family friend. You could be a family friend to an individual, a couple, a family. It could be you. It could be you and your friends. It could be you and your family that become a friend. This is not a hierarchical relationship. Like I said, this is neighbor helping neighbor. Another opportunity we have is to be an English language tutor. This is not English as a second language. How many languages do you speak, Patricia? So she speaks four. So that's somewhere in the middle. Some people speak seven. So just to give you a sense of the skills people are bringing, without English, they can't make that kind of progress that they need to make. They can't be connected to community members. So being an English language tutor is very important. We have a coordinator of English language program that will teach you how to teach English, even if you don't know how. So you don't have to have been a teacher to do that opportunity. We also have a youth mentor program. This is where you would be connected with someone between the age of 13 and 20. You're there for them, to support them, listen to them, help them understand the systems in the United States, help them begin to connect in ways that will make their future. You're also there to connect to their family. So you're not directing them in isolation from their culture. You're a part of, you're learning about their culture, helping them make sense of what opportunities are there for them and how their family, who has come here with the hope of making a better life for their children, can actually realize that hope. We have another way you could get involved, and that is to be a friend to somebody who wants and is ready for an employment upgrade. I know that sounds kind of like cold-hearted, but for example, we have someone who's come here as a dentist. He speaks some English, but he's not going to be a dentist here. It takes a long time, a lot of money, a lot of education to get recertified. What could he possibly do here? Everyone here, you have networks. You have experience in the community. So, you know, you could connect with this individual, get to know them, and enable them to to reach out and find a path to create a meaningful career here. We've got other younger people here who, you know, maybe they're doing a manual labor job, but they have much more capacity than that. The statistics show that 80% of jobs that people get are because they know somebody. So when people come here, they get $925 each. Baby, adult, elder, everybody gets $925. They don't get a network. We have networks. We've built networks. We can share our networks. So that's another opportunity. We need people to do transportation, help people get to appointments. This is basically an on-call kind of relationship that you would have with a case manager and enable a case manager to help people get to their appointments more easily. And it's just like driving anybody else. It's really fun. You get to know somebody it's a kind of an easy way to connect with people. We need transportation of things. People receive $925. They've got to put down a security deposit, first month's rent. You can imagine we don't want to go out and buy furniture with that $925 because then they wouldn't even have a place to put it in. So we need in-kind donations, gently used or new. We also need help with collecting those and getting them to the office because not everybody has that capacity. We need administrative help in the office, and that's a pretty amazing opportunity to be connected in this team that's from around the world. I'm totally atypical, being American-born white woman. Everybody else has either come as a refugee or an immigrant and has walked the walk. And the teamwork that we have, which we need to have to do the work we do, is extraordinary. So I feel very fortunate to be there, and I'm happy to be able to share that opportunity with other people. I'd like to introduce to you Patricia. She came here from the Democratic Republic of Congo originally, but then she went on to Kenya, and she would like to share her story with you briefly. And then after that, we'll show you a short video of someone who's came from Bhutan and has been in this country a little bit longer, so you can see what someone's journey might be after they've been here a little while.
Good morning. My name is Patricia. I'm from DRC Congo. 2011, I lost my family. I went to Kenya. I was a refugee in Kenya. I stayed in Kenya 4 years, and then I came here. Last month, I found my mom, but I lost my dad, and I lost my sisters. I don't like to talk about this story because it is painful. That is all my story. When I came here, VIP received me like a refugee, and then they showed me the love of family, and then they helped me to commit myself in U.S. Thank you. That is my story.
I would like to thank Patricia for sharing her story. It's one thing to hear a story. It's another thing when you start to talk about it, you don't just walk away and then it's gone. It's bringing things back to you. So it's really a tremendous gift that she's given us today to share with us.
Thank you both. I just would encourage you as you think about the journeys and the trials that people have had leaving their country. Think about the scripture that we just heard and about how frightened Elijah was when Jezebel vowed to kill him. And so he ran. Elijah the prophet, who had everything going for him, favored in God's sight, Elijah ran for his life. And he had to go someplace foreign, and he had nothing. And he was terrified, and he was alone. And he was in the midst of depression, asleep under a tree, and an angel came to him. An angel came and gave him food, and he ate the food, and he did not get up and run out to conquer the world. He was so beset and wounded that he lay back down again, and he went to sleep. And yet the angel came back, and the angel said, "Here, eat this bread." And he did finally eat the bread and feel fortified and get up. And this is what we are called to do. We are not called to flippantly go in and think that we can solve problems of people who come here in such desperate need. We are called to be the angels on the road, to be the ones who go and give food and transportation and kindness and love, and most of all, patience and constancy and being there and recognizing that it's not a one-stop hit, that we need to go back and be there and witness both to God's love and to our love for one another. Patricia has had an angel in her life. She has had many since she has come to the United States. And so I would ask you all to consider what you are given as angels and to consider also the people in your lives who have helped you when you have felt lost. And so we'll show this video, yeah.
मंगी सिंह म भुटानबाट आएको हुँ म 2011 मा भ्रमण प्रवेश गरे I was born in Bhutan in a small city named Sarbam. Was the absolute power. It was a totally very authoritarian government, and it was not based on rule of law. You have to follow what comes from above. You know, it's from top to bottom. So I was a sort of activist. I was in a peaceful rally in 1990 saying, okay, we want our human rights, equal opportunity for jobs, education. That was the last day that I have seen my school. From the next day, the school were all closed. Son in 2001, and in 2002 I thought, no, I cannot be here in the refugee camp. Maybe I can be a refugee, my son can be a refugee, but I need to give him a better education. To University of Vermont, talk to some educators, talk about what are the possibilities of getting me into university. After a few months of being here, I started working on TOEFLs and GIs. I did a lot of time, a lot of challenges within that. In addition to that, I had to go through the continuing education classes to get references and also to know about the American schooling systems. In 2014, I got into the program, the doctoral program in education leadership and policy studies, and I'm doing the second year now. When you feel that you are welcoming, that's all. And in addition to that, you need to be happy when there is peace and safety. Bhutan was my home because I felt that's where I was born. But home is not where you are born. Home is where you are happy, where you are together, where you are peace and where you are secure. That's your home. Let it be United States, any place. You know. Unity with the family. I believe in a family. You know. I believe in a community where everyone feels safe with love and care and having equal belonging and equal partnerships. That's all. I believe in contributing. That's what I learned being in refugee camps, you know, whatever you have. My aim is just